Hello, hello, everyone. Blessings. Welcome, welcome. Amanda Grace here with you. And Chris is here today because we have a very, very special guest coming on. Hello to all of you jumping on in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you on with us. To our moderators, our Ark of Grace team, thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. And as you can notice, the background change because fall has begun in New York, so I have changed the entire, and coincidentally, it almost matches the cover of our guest book today, and I didn't mean to do that, but it kind of does, so which is nice. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is here with us. This is probably, I believe it is going to be a very fiery, prophetic, packed time that we have. We always love when he comes on and we get to prophetically talk. He's got this book, which we're going to show, The Dragon Prophecies. And so we are very much looking forward to talking to him about this. This is his newest book that's out. So what I'm going to do as everyone is jumping on, hello, hello to those of you jumping on right now. We see a lot of people on from Canada, Ireland. We've had people from Israel come on, which is wonderful. So shalom, shalom to our friends, our brothers and sisters in Israel. We're happy to have you on with us as well as those watching in the nation. And so I'm going to open up in prayer. And after prayer, we've got a trailer to show you about this incredible book. And then we will bring Rabbi Jonathan on. So let us just humble ourselves before the Lord as we go forth today. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you, Lord. We praise you that you are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise to your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, Lord, asking you to forgive us of our sins, Lord. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. We all fall short of your glory, Father, and we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. Lord, we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. That blood dripped onto the mercy seat and purchased us and redeemed us and reconciled us back to you, Father. And we praise you. He miraculously rose again in 3 days, ascended back into heaven, took his rightful victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day, Father, as we come before you with praise and thanksgiving, Father God. Yes. And we bless your holy name, Lord. Father, we invite your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the Living God, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, Lord, to fill this place. Father, that your power, your glory would mightily move, that people would tangibly feel your presence, Father God. Lord, I ask today that you fill us and you fill Rabbi Jonathan and myself and Chris with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God. May only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority come forth in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, any plot, scheme, contract, assignment, or harm, Father God, against this broadcast as we go forth, Father God, Lord, against Rabbi Jonathan, Lord, against our team, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over it right now and rebuke it in Jesus' name. We command it dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, their communication lines disrupted, so they cannot carry out their plans. And it bound up and cast back, Father God, to the dry places, pits, and areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in its place, Lord. Yeah. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. Every breath we take is because of you, Father. We are the dust of the earth without your breath of life in us. We say, Hashiveinu Adonai, Father, as we go forth, because you are the author and the finisher, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending and the Alpha and Omega. Let your name be glorified above all today, Father, as we go forth mightily and prophetically, Father God, in you. In Jesus' name, Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I love giving it over to the Lord first because the Lord is just welcomed in to have his way, and it is amazing. So hello to everybody that was jumping on during prayer. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn is with us. He's going to be on in just a couple of minutes with us. And so we're going to play the trailer for you, The Dragon Prophecy, and then we'll bring Rabbi on.
Is there more to the world than meets our eyes? Another realm that's transforming our world at this very moment? Is there an ancient vision that unlocks what is really happening and what is yet to come? Is there a secret to the Book of Revelation that reveals what is taking place right now? After 8 New York Times bestsellers, Jonathan Cahn now releases his newest stunning blockbuster, The Dragon's Prophecy, Israel, the Dark Resurrection, and the End of Days. For the first time ever, Jonathan Cahn will open end time prophecy and reveal the secrets of our age. The Dragon's Prophecy will reveal the long hidden secret of the last days, the colors of the apocalypse, the 2315th day, the beast, what lies ahead, and more. What does the future hold? Just when you thought Jonathan Cahn's books couldn't get more explosive, comes The Dragon's Prophecy, Israel, The Dark Resurrection, and The End of Days. It will open your eyes, blow your mind, and change the way you see the world. Available everywhere books are sold.
Wow, we are in for an incredible time. So, ladies, I'm giving you the cue now. Hello, everyone, and hello, Rabbi Jonathan. So happy to have you.
Hey, great to be back. Always great to be back at the Ark of Grace.
Oh, we love to have you on. Rabbi Jonathan requested that Chet come out and see him, so we did that before we went on live.
We had to catch up.
We had to catch up. Yeah, him and Chet are friends. They had to catch up. And so that was very nice, too. So happy to have you here with your new book.
A blessing to be with you. It just came out. I mean, it's right now, and I'm glad to do this with you. I know that whenever we're together doing this program, it's always the spirit. And so it's always a joy to do this. And I know also that your ministry is totally is in the prophetic. And so and this is definitely a prophetic work.
Yes, we can see that. And so we want to jump right in. I actually marked some spots in the book too, because I started reading through it already. And I'm very excited into getting into it more. So Rabbi Jonathan, if it's okay with you, I'd like to give you a proper introduction.
Okay.
For those who are watching, it would be wonderful because there are those jumping on who know you, and there are those jumping on who are getting to know you. And so Rabbi Jonathan Cahn has been named along with Billy Graham as one of the top spiritual leaders to have radically impacted our world in modern times. He has spoken at the United Nations, on Capitol Hill, to members of Congress, and to millions around the world. Every one of his books, starting with The Harbinger onward, has become a New York Times bestseller. He is recognized as a prophetic voice for our times. That is absolutely true. His teachings and prophetic words on YouTube have received over 100 million views. He leads Beth Israel at the Jerusalem Center in Wayne, New Jersey, and Hope of the World Ministry, which is a world outreach of God's word and compassion to the world's most needy. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the Dragon's Prophecy. I have it right here, so I'm going to show everyone. Here it is. I'm going to hold it up again. And so how is this different than the other books you have written?
Well, yeah, all the books I've written, you know, have something that holds them together, and that is that they open up prophetic mysteries that are happening now, or things from ancient times that are actually unfolding in our world now. But this one, first of all, I didn't plan on writing this one. I was working on the sequel to The Return of the Gods when I got interrupted. One, what was happening around the world. Then I was praying and I saw the image of a dragon. And I knew this was from Revelation. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord really just interrupted. And number two, it's the only book I've ever written that totally gets into the realm of the end of days.
Yes.
And opening up what the prophecy, ancient prophecies, ancient mysteries, ancient entities, but prophecies that are actually moving forward today in events that we can actually pinpoint. It is the only book I've ever written as I'm writing it. What I'm writing is coming true in the world, and I had to keep rewriting, updating it because it kept happening. And even after I finished the manuscript, it continued to happen. It's continuing to come true. So many things are, and also it's the only book I've really gotten into Revelation, the book of Revelation. So this is, you know, not only, you know, it's kind of like pulling a veil behind what is happening in the world. Once you see the spiritual realm and the prophetic realm, then everything makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of pulling that veil back. And also, it's not just what's happening in the world. It all affects each of us. The dragon's war is against each of us. And so the last part is about how to overcome, and how, you know, with all these things. So it's all these things. And the other thing is, you know, every book I've written, there's always been attack. I mean, you can imagine that. And you often when it comes out, I mean, dramatic stuff.
Yes.
But this one, as I started writing it, everything, I'm writing about the dragon and the flood, and a flood comes at our building. You know, three floods come.
Yeah.
You know,
in one after the
other. But as I'm writing it, it only stopped when I stopped writing. You know, so I've never seen so much resistance, but that's a good sign. It means the enemy doesn't want this book out to God's people. God does.
And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. And Hashem will do that. He will totally disrupt what you're doing and reroute you and send you in another direction when things happen within the earth. And that's part of the prophetic office. That's part of that mantle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we have to be interruptible. If we're not, we're in trouble. God has to be able to
interrupt. It's true.
Yeah,
we have to be very interruptible. We do. Yeah. We just have to. You be willing on a notice just to change when the Lord says you have to go in this direction. So let me ask you. You talked about the book in the book about the events happening in the world, and as they were happening, that as you were writing them, they were happening, and you had to rewrite them. So is it true that one of the mysteries in the book foretold the invasion of Israel by Hamas and what would happen and even when it would take place? So that was part of that writing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a Friday night at Beth Israel.
Shabbat.
The congregation that I lead in New Jersey. We have Friday night. We have Sunday morning. And Friday night, I was led that Friday night to share a mystery from the Bible. And that mystery ordained that there would be an attack on Israel. Mm-hmm. It would take Israel by surprise. It would happen in 2023. It would happen in the autumn, in the month of October of 2023. It would happen, take place on a Sabbath day, on a Saturday. It would happen on an ancient Hebrew holy day. Mm-hmm. And altogether, the mystery, which is over 3,000 years old, would happen, the attack would happen on the first Saturday of October of the year 2023. Now, I'm sharing this mystery on that Friday night. Mm-hmm. The next morning, it happens. I shared it on October 6th. And it happens the next morning. And those who are at the service are saying, well, you just spoke about this. The thing is that after I finished the manuscript, three other events happened according to that mystery. So I don't believe this. I believe this is continuing. This mystery from the Lord may even enable us to know future events and when they happen. So it's one of the mysteries in the book, but it's one of the mysteries that led to the book. But that's how it began.
And you know, it's interesting because when that happened, the Lord had me on a high place. He had me on top of a mountain. And many times when these things happen, the Lord, for some reason, has me positioned where there's a high place. Yeah. And so when that attack happened, that's where I was positioned for that to intercede and pray. And it's interesting because you were sharing with your congregation and leading up to it, the Lord was giving me prophecy that I was sharing about an attack that was going to threaten the whole nation of Israel that was about to happen. And I'm paraphrasing it. Yeah. Of course, but that's amazing that the night before on Shabbat that you share that, and then the next day it happens.
Yeah, the Lord. It's the Lord. You know, the Lord is in charge. He knows the end from the beginning, and he does reveal to us. You know, he gives us glimpses, you know, that we'd be ready.
So there are people who struggle with the idea of the devil, but how does Jewish history testify to his existence? Because there's been a lot of debate about that. Especially now as we go on in the times we're in. And you share about this in the book.
Yeah. There are people who will say, oh yeah, I can't believe in God. I can't believe in the devil. Well, listen, the devil is as real as anything. You know, the Bible reveals, first of all, you know, this entity that is this angelic entity that is now twisted. It is inverted and it exists to destroy the purpose of God, to invert them, to thwart them, to destroy them, to preempt them. So it exists. He exists for that. On the other hand, you have a nation, Israel, the Jewish people, who were brought into the world to bring forth the purposes of God.
Yes.
So you bring forth the word, bring forth Messiah, bring forth the kingdom that is yet to come. So you got on one side, you have that. They exist to bring forth the purpose of God. On the other side, you have an entity
Yes.
That exists to destroy the purpose of God. So what's going to happen? You're going to have a war. And
yes.
The war is between the, and the enemy is between, listen, he's against everyone who's in the image of God. But he's especially against the Jewish people because of that, because they exist for God's purposes. And God said, you exist, Israel, you are my witness. They are witnesses that God exists. Mm-hmm. So the enemy, if he
they
can
are.
Destroy them, he can stop the purposes of God, if he could do that. So he's been trying to destroy them for 4,000 years.
Yes.
And so, and what just happened was part of an ancient war. What happened in Israel and what's happened since is an ancient war. It's been long before we were born. We are watching, we are on the stage.
Amalek.
It was happening. So the thing is that, what would we expect to happen? We would expect that the enemy would seek to, would actually persecute the Jewish people. We'd expect the Jewish people to become the most persecuted, hated, warred against, slandered. He's a slanderer. Slandered, attacked, annihilated, all that. And that's exactly what they became. That's not an accident. So the Jewish people not only exist as a testimony that God exists, their history testifies that the enemy exists.
Yes.
You know, so it all makes sense. It's what the Bible says. I mean, you know, doesn't matter. You know, the people change, they rise and fall, the names change. You got Hitler in one generation, you have Hamas in another. Doesn't matter. You have it's always happening, and it never makes sense. You know, they hated the Jews because they stick together. They hated the Jews because they don't stick together. You know, they hated the Jews because, you know, the communists said they're capitalists. The capitalists said they're communists. It doesn't matter. Ancient times, medieval times, now it doesn't matter. So this is all bearing witness to what the Bible says. And so what has happened is that there is a real devil, a real Satan. Even the word Satan, you know, it's a Hebrew word. That means something. It's from Hasatan, means the opposer, the opponent. He's going to oppose everything, nullify everything. Well, that is the war we are watching on the stage right now. And that was behind October 7th. It's behind everything.
And a witness is a validator of a claim. That's what a witness is. And that's what the Jewish nation exists for, because they're in covenant with God and they're validators of the claim about who Almighty God is. And I was going to ask for a minute, if you could speak to Amalek for a minute, and how the Lord said he would war with them every generation. He would blot them out and he would war with them. And how we see this bubble up and percolate in every generation.
Yeah, that's like on one hand, that's like a whole other mystery because it's so cool. It's so cool. Yeah, I'm totally into it. You know, that's one of the mysteries. But at the same time, it's a mystery that harmonizes with this, because behind Amalek is the dragon, is the enemy. You know,
exactly.
And it's true. You know, and you watch how this unfolds. I mean, you know, there's so many mysteries to this, but I mean, of course, in the Bible, you know, you have Amalek. And then from Amalek comes Agag, King Agag, who then from Agag comes Haman, you know, then Purim, you know. So this is never ending. So Amalek is like the sign of the vessels that the enemy uses.
Exactly.
In one generation, it's Hitler. In another generation, it's, you know, it's Osama bin Laden. You know, but it's always there. It rises up in, as you said, every generation. And it's a kind of cool thing because he says, I will blot out the remembrance, you know, but remember, I'm going to do this, you know.
Yeah.
So it's every generation, he's going to blot him out, but God's going to win.
Amen. He does win. God wins. Praise God. So the book of Revelation, because you bring this into the dragon's prophecy, contains a vision of a dragon and a woman. So what does that reveal?
Yeah, this is Revelation 12. And when I told you, Amanda, when I was praying and I saw this red dragon, I knew it was Revelation. I knew that's what this is about. This, Revelation 12, that's where this begins. And that's where the book really kind of is born out of that, the dragon's prophecy. In Revelation, John says, he sees a woman in the heavenlies, and the woman has 12 stars around her crown, her crown of 12 stars. Well, that's Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. She gives birth to Messiah. Now that's Israel. You know, the church didn't give birth. The church is born a Messiah.
Exactly.
So this is clearly Israel. That's one. But then he says, I saw this red dragon, and the red dragon, who is Satan, who is the devil, it's identified, makes war against the woman. So he's, it reveals so much because, first of all, this was written 2,000 years ago. And most of what we have seen, you know, from the Holocaust to this, has happened after it was written. So the thing is, it's prophetic, it's writing, and you have revelations in there because it gives the word in Greek, the dragon hunted the woman, or in Greek, persecuted the woman. Word persecution. Why is that so associated with the Jewish people? Because of this. The dragon is behind it. And then it says he raged. He was enraged with the woman. And the word is orgizo, which can mean, in Greek, can mean, you know, it's antipathy, hostility, a fury, rage, you know, and that's what you see in every generation. It's the rage of the dragon. It doesn't matter whether it's Harvard University. It's the rage of the dragon. Whether it's Berlin and Hitler, it's the rage of the dragon. Whether it's October 7th, it's the rage of the dragon. And this thing comes up and rears its head. And that's why, you know, it never ends. People were shocked, like, how could this happen again? It doesn't end until Messiah, because dragon, it doesn't die. He's not flesh and blood. So this war, anti-Semitism always comes back. Doesn't matter.
It's cyclical.
Yeah. And it's, yes, and progressive. And the thing is that so now the woke is now part of it. You know,
oh,
woke,
yes.
You know, oh. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, you've had it on the right. You have it on the left. It doesn't matter. But now it's the woke with it as well. You have the woke on one hand. You have radical Islam. They shouldn't be together, but they are. They're together because it's the dragon. They have a common enemy, the Jews. So all that's there. So the other thing about Revelation is that if the focal point of that prophecy, Revelation 12, is the beginning of the age when the woman gives birth to the to the son, and the end of the age, which is the majority of that vision. So what do they have in common? Both times are when Israel was back in the world. So when Israel comes back in the world, this revelation from Revelation, this vision is going to kick into high gear. And the dragon, his rage against Israel is going to intensify, and intensify. And that's why it wasn't just what happened on October 7th. What happened after? It was the most widespread hatred, outbreak of hatred of Israel, Jewish people in world history. Mm-hmm. So we're in the end time. So this is now so key what we're about to see. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can I add a few things?
Yes, please.
I think you might find interesting. Okay, so first of all, with the wokeism, there's something the Lord showed me about wokeism that goes back to the Garden of Eden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When the serpent says to Eve, if you eat of this, your eyes will be open, you'll become woke, and you will become like God, knowing good from evil. So that is repurposed from the garden. The enemy repurposed it, he repackaged it, and he fed it to a modern generation. And that seed for that was planted at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, as far as the dragon, I have some interesting things to show you, but that I think you're going to find, you know, interesting in connection to the book. So this year, 2024, is the year of the dragon in China, first of all.
Yes.
It's the year of the dragon. Secondly, June 16th, 2024, they did something in New York City.
Yes.
And we'll put the picture up. Yep. Atop the Empire State Building, they decided to erect a 270-foot-tall dragon on a high place in New York City. And there it is, yep, which to represent the House of the Dragon, apparently, which is a TV series. And there it is, yep, there it is in all its demonicness looking at us. And then thirdly, something happened in Rhode Island, and we were actually there for, and the Lord probably positioned me there to witness it. Swarms of thousands of dragonflies descended on Rhode Island beaches in Westerly and Wachill, Rhode Island. And Chris and I were caught in that.
Wow.
Witnessing it. Came out of nowhere. They don't know where they came from. I was actually asking the staff even. They're like, we don't know where these all came from, but thousands and thousands of dragonflies invaded that area
When was that, Amanda?
Late July into early August. So about July 27th.
Wow.
To the following week.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't share this, but it's good. But I should have. I'm on the Ark of Grace. I should have. Is that when I started writing it, which was in January, when I started writing it, at the Lord led me. I didn't realize that's when I found out it was right after that the year changed and it became the year of the dragon. I had no idea of that. Mm-hmm. But also, there's another thing. There's a comet that comes across the earth.
I've been
once every over 70 years. It's called the House of Dragons Comet. I'm sorry. It's called the Mother of Dragons Comet.
Yes. Yep.
And mm-hmm. This is the year. 2024 is the Mother of Dragons Comet, mm-hmm. also called the Devil's Comet because it has yes. horns. And so it happens to be in the year of the dragon. Mm-hmm. Happens to be when, yeah, dragons appear all over New York City of all mm-hmm. places, you know. And then what you just said, I didn't know. And the other thing, here's another thing, like right after you saw that, it was the Democratic Convention at the end.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they introduced Nancy Pelosi as the Mother of Dragons.
Mm-hmm. They did. I know.
What is this? Yeah. So, I mean, I know this is the time for it, but I had no idea of this, you know, when I started writing it, you know, mm-hmm. and I didn't hear anything about the dragonfly invasion.
Yeah, there was a dragonfly invasion. And this year on Yom Kippur, there is another comet set to show up and be viewable from Earth. And it's October 12th.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling it like the Yom Kippur comet, which is interesting too, because you had the Mother Dragon comet, which I had been talking about yes. as well as you. So we had been warning about this, and now you've got another one marking Yom Kippur.
Do you know the name of that comet? I don't.
No, it's named Atlas, and it's got numbers on it. I don't think they have like named it yeah. yet, but I'm waiting to see.
Interesting. October 12th, Yom Kippur. They're mm-hmm. There's also going to be the women's gathering, maybe a million women, or I mean, that's what it's called, but on the National Mall to pray for America on that day, you know, for those who don't, you know.
Yes, Lou Engel came on. Yes, Lou Engel was on. Yes, he came on.
He asked me to help with that. And so I will be there.
Yes. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So the dragon's prophecy reveals an ancient mystery that lies behind one of the central issues of modern times. What is the secret of the sea peoples? This is going to be interesting. The sea yeah. people.
Yes. Yeah. Well, keep this in mind. Once okay. you look at the spiritual realm, and yes. once you go in that, everything becomes crystal clear. Mm-hmm. And the thing is this, the enemy is an imitator. He's a mimic. He imitates the things of God to destroy them. To replace God, you know, everything's an imitation, you know. So think about it. What did God do in this world in modern times? What was his great? He resurrected the nation of Israel back into the world. So the enemy is going to imitate him, and he's going to seek to resurrect an ancient people. And so what people would he resurrect? Well, he's an enemy. It's going to be an enemy. It's going to be the enemy of Israel to destroy or to attack God's work, the resurrected Israel. What people? Who were the ancient arch enemies of Israel? The Philistines. So could he resurrect them? Well, he already has. And that is this. He took a people and he conformed them into their image. When you hear in the news the word Palestinian, and it's not about them. We pray for everybody. They don't know what they're doing. They're being used, but we got to. Palestinian actually means the Philistines. Literally means the Philistines. If you go in the language of the Palestinians, they don't call each other Palestinians. The word in Arabic, Palestinian, is the word pronounced Philistine or Philistini. And so literally you've got a people. And the thing is, it was just as God started resurrecting Israel that the enemy started resurrecting the ancient Philistines. It happened like one after the other. And in fact, you know, here's the thing. I mean, think about it. And it's not that they know what they're doing, but they're being conformed into the image of the ancient Philistines to attack Israel, to destabilize it, to do an exact same thing. And the thing is that you know, when did they come back? I mean, this is actually linked to a mystery called Pilashet. The Bible speaks about the place where the Philistines dwell. We call it, in their Bibles may say, call it Philistia. But the word is Pilashet. It's a little region that they centered on that, where they dwell. Well, okay. Today, it still exists. And you know what it's called? Ancient Philistia is called the Gaza Strip. So the Gaza Strip is exactly where they were. And so the thing is that the Gaza Strip didn't exist. Gaza did, but not the Gaza Strip. You know when it came back? In the year 1948, when Israel came back. Israel was resurrected. The Gaza Strip was resurrected the same year. So the Israelite returned to the land of Israel. Wow. The Philistine returned to the land of the Philistines. And so the enemy is using them. And that's in ancient times, the Gaza Strip was a place where where a lot of evil came out to Israel, you know? And so the ancient Philistines, you know what they would do is they trained up their children from childhood to be child soldiers. If you read the story of David and Goliath, Saul tells David, you can't fight him. He's been a man of war since he was a child. So what's happened to the Palestinians is that now they're raising their children. Same exact thing. Yes. Everything's being conformed. You know, the prophet Amos, or the prophets speak about, in different prophets speak about the ancient Philistines, and they say, you've had this ancient hatred for Israel. Mm-hmm. You've nursed this hatred for vengeance. Well, that's come upon them. They didn't know it. You know, they didn't know it, but it came upon. But just when Israel comes back, they come back. But that's what this is all about. The enemy's using, it's an ancient mystery. What we saw on October 7th was part of an ancient mystery that the dragon is using to attack Israel.
And you know what's interesting, because I see the word sea peoples, right, connected to the Philistines.
Yes.
And they happen to worship a god named Dagon, who was half man, half fish. I tell people, you think Starbucks is a new idea, their logo? No, it's not. It's a very ancient one. And yes, Dagon was half man, half fish. And there's the account when they captured the Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines decide, we're going to put it in front of Dagon. And the Lord wants his covenant back, wants his ark back. And he throws Dagon on his face. And then the next time he breaks off his head and his hands from him and starts afflicting the Philistine people with tumors and rodents until they realize they have to send the ark back, that God is angry and they have to send the ark back.
Yeah, interesting that you said that, because and of course there's so much in the book that we just can taste, you know, do a taste of it, but sometimes we you and I have done a second show, so we'll see if God does that with that. But something I wasn't going to share, but you just triggered it, and that is that the Philistines also worshipped Molech and the gods of the Canaanites that they would offer their children to. But that's what they're doing. They're offering up their children. They're sending their children to be suicide bombers and to be destroyed. It's not that it's not natural, you know. And they have mothers celebrating that their son was a martyr. That's not natural. You know, it's just not natural. But they're being affected. It's all going back to the beginning. It's all returning. You know, if God's going to bring his people back to their land, they're going to return. Yeah. Well, the enemy's going to take the enemy to the return at the same time. And we got to pray for them, you know, this is all part of what we're watching.
And when you have to go dig up the root of something, you overturn everything to get the root. And that's what we see happening in Israel right now. Yeah. They have to overturn all of this to go to this root and the source and pull it out because of what they have built underground and the tunnels and what Hamas has done and how they've intertwined with the Palestinian people. And this is why we see everything being overturned, because now it is time for that root to be dug up and torn out. So the city of Gaza, because we're talking about this, is there a mystery connected to that city?
Yeah. First of all, what we watch, it wasn't only, you know, the timing of it. I said there's a mystery that ordained that exact time.
Yes.
But the place as well, the Bible speaks of, you know what the ancient Philistines used to do? They used to invade and attack Israel from the Gaza Strip. So they would invade, and the Bible gives the place where they would invade. And actually, it's two places, the Negev and a place called the Shephelah. Where they meet up, that's exactly where that music festival was. That's exactly where the kibbutz was. So they're replaying it. And the thing is, so they're doing what they used to do. And from Gaza. Now, the Bible speaks about Gaza. The prophet, actually, Amos, he condemns Gaza. And he says, why? What's the sin? He said, for the sin of Gaza, you went and you took captives, hostages from Israel and brought them back to Gaza. So literally even that's what they did when they swept in. They would exert brutality on Israeli villages in ancient times. And they would bring back hostages. But the other thing is, there's a story we all learned when we were kids, and it's from the Bible, that had a mystery to what happened. And just in a nutshell, you know, of course, the story of Samson.
Yes.
Well, what's that about? Well, what happened? Samson's an Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
Samson is taken captive by Philistines. They actually mutilate him, which has also happened. And they bring him back where? To the city of Gaza as a hostage. First time. Mm-hmm. He's the first Gazan hostage. And what do? They celebrate. That's also what happened that day, if you remember. They celebrated in Gaza. And, you know, and the Bible says they celebrated, it gives a word. The word is Simcha. They had a festival of joy. They call it Simcha. Okay.
Yes.
Now, what happened on that day? Well, Samson brings down the temple of Dagon. And it, the Bible says that how many Philistines were struck down? About 5,000, it says. About 5,000. Well, what if the enemy, the dragon, was going to work a revenge? Not that the people know it, but he knows it. So what happened on October 7th? It's the revenge. The Gazans come and now they attack Israel. As the tragedy for them happened on the day that it says was as a festival of Simcha, they attacked on October 7th was Israel's festival holiday called Simcha Torah, the day of joy. It's the same thing. The IDF identified the initial invasion and they said, how many Gazans attacked Israel? They said about 5,000, the same exact number and phrase from the story of Samson. I mean, it's amazing.
That's amazing. Amos 1:6-7. I was looking for this while you were talking. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not reverse the punishment or revoke my word concerning it, because they took captive the entire Jewish population and deported them to Edom. So I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza and it shall consume her citadels.
And that, and we won't have time to go into that, but even that happened. Mm-hmm. It's like a problem. What happened to Gaza? A fire came and consumed its walls. You know, a war came. You know, in the Bible, you have righteous kings like Hezekiah and others who actually waged war on Gaza because of what they did. But that even that's part of the prophecy. Absolutely.
And you also say that Hamas appears in the Bible. Now, I know about in Genesis, Hamas, which means violence, right? So where does Hamas appear?
Yeah, Hamas. And so people don't know, Hamas is an Arabic word. It means the Islamic Resistance Movement or zeal. But it's strange because it's a Hebrew word at the same time. And in Hebrew, it means, as you said, it means evil, death, violence, and destruction. And so it actually appears in the Bible. Here are some of the, I put this in the book. Here are some of the instances. Number one, it says, Lord, save me from the man of Hamas. Save me. It says Hamas has risen up as a rod of evil in the land. It says Hamas is in the city and the land is full of bloodshed. It said, you know how Hamas hides in the tunnels? There's a scripture. It says Hamas dwells in the dark places of the earth. And then it says to Israel, rid Hamas from the land. And then, and you know, there's a promise of Messiah's kingdom. And you know what it says? One of the promises to Israel, it says, in that day, no more shall Hamas be heard in your land. The Bible actually has all these revelations of Hamas.
That's amazing. You write also that Adolf Hitler had a part in October 7th. So how does he have a part in what happened?
Yeah, well, you know, because the enemy goes from generation to generation. And so, you know, one rises, one falls, he rises up another one. And so there's like a torch being passed in every generation. Well, it turns out there was a guy called, an Arab guy called Al-Husseini, also called the Mufti. And he in the 20th century, he hated the Jews. He tried to stop Israel. He was responsible for bloodshed. He was going to be put on trial. He fled to Germany. He went to Berlin and met Hitler. And they formed a working relationship that he wanted to bring Hitler's Holocaust to Israel. And so he actually worked for the Nazis. He was employed. He Radio Berlin. He broadcast Hitler's hatred of the Jews throughout the Arab world. And the thing is, at the end of the war, they were going to put him on trial in Nuremberg, but he escaped. He went back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. In Egypt, he met an Egyptian teenager, and he mentored him and discipled him and trained him. The teenager's name was Yasser Arafat.
Oh, wow.
So you got a direct link from Hitler to a Mufti to Yasser Arafat. And this guy, the Mufti, is called the father of Palestinian nationalism. He was an employee of Adolf Hitler. But not only that, Hitler also, he sponsored an organization in the 1930s. He helped them get strong. He funded them. He trained them. He worked with them. They translated Hitler's work into the Middle East. The organization was called the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is the organization that gave birth to Hamas. Yes. Hamas is part of the organization that Adolf Hitler was funded and empowered. And when you look at the charter of Hamas, it's the words of Adolf Hitler in that charter. And not only that, Hitler, he put a man in charge of the Holocaust whose name was Heinrich Himmler. And he did on one, it was one day that he appointed him over all the conquered territories, really to begin the Holocaust. The day that he chose, October 7th. Wow. And when was not only was Himmler put in charge, Himmler was born on October 7th. So you got this you have this war, you have the train of the dragon, the chains, and all the fingerprints are there.
They are there. And, you know, the enemy works in cycles.
Yeah.
So he works best when he's working in cycles and keeping those cycles, like you're saying, going. He's keeping those chains going. And so you can then start to identify his fingerprints all over something when you see these events happen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the Hamas invasion with Israel is connected to the book of Revelation, you say. Now, how are these two connected?
Yeah, and what you just said about, you know, fingerprints, yeah, mm-hmm. and mystery. In the book of Revelation, I mean, in that vision, the dragon is attacking the woman. And how does he attack her? It says he spews forth a flood to flood her away. Well, you know, October 7th, people don't realize it had a code name. Hamas gave it a name. They called it Operation Tufan. You know what Tufan means? Tufan is Arabic for the flood, as in the dragon's flood. So even that was part of what this mystery is.
You know, that is so wild, because back in October of 2022, I had a dream. It was like a vision. I got taken up in the realm of the spirit atop a very high mountain. And there was an angel dressed in centurion garb, warring garb, on a very large white horse. And when he spoke, it was stereo sound. It just encompassed the atmosphere. And it was a stone building with open windows. And he told me to look to the left, right? And he had told me Sodom is burning to the ground. And then he told me to look to the right, and I saw these clouds coming in. And he said, a great flood is about to hit the earth. And that was October of 2022. When I was told that, and then I woke up. I came out of it. So when you said that triggered me. When you said flood.
Yeah, the enemy works through floods. And as you say, he comes like a flood. When I'm writing the Dragon's Prophecy, we had no less than three floods as I'm writing about the flood. Mm-hmm. And there was a flood. It wasn't only the flood of October 7th, the flood that went all over the world of hatred for Israel as well. So there, and then we're dealing with the flood of immorality and the flood. This is the enemy. But it literally, so when you get to Israel, that's his that's the physical nation. It's all concentrated. So the actual attack was literally called the flood.
That's amazing. How was October 7th connected to the principle of satanic desecration?
Yeah, another realm of fingerprints. You know, what is the enemy? The enemy is a desecrator. He takes holy things and he inverts them and desecrates them and makes them unholy. That's what he does. So the thing is, October 7th was not just October 7th. It actually was a convergence of no less than three Hebrew holy days. Three. One was the Sabbath, and the Sabbath, what did the enemy do? He takes away their peace on the day of their peace. They celebrated their home.
Later.
They celebrate in their homes. Mm-hmm. They welcome in the Sabbath. Well, he went to their homes, you know? And you know what Israel calls that day today in Hebrew? They call October 7th the Black Sabbath, which Black Sabbath is linked to the enemy. And there's so much more about this. But now it was also, as I gave a hint, it was called Simchat Torah, day of joy and rejoicing. And, you know, and on that day, the Jewish people they go out of the houses, go in the streets, they sing and dance and clap, and it's custom, it's tradition to give out candy on Simchat Torah. What happened? On the day of joy, the enemy takes away their joy, turns it into mourning. And yet, but in Gaza and in the West Bank and around and all around the world with the enemies of Israel, they went out into the streets and they celebrated and they clapped and they sang for Jewish blood and they gave out candy. All over. It was the devil's holiday.
That's, you know, there's so many things going through my mind when you say these things about a dream I had back in 2021 that involved Arab nations and the passing out of candy. So that's really interesting that happened around that time. What is the Jubilee and mystery with this? Because I know it was 50 years from the Yom Kippur War, 50 years. That happens.
Yeah. Well, the big context is first, you know, of course, God, you know, Jubilee every 50 years and God restores. If you lost your land, you get it back. Well, there's no people who so dramatically lost their land as the Jewish people. But the amazing thing is God restored them according to the mystery of the Jubilee. that every 50 years, and I'll just do a very quick nutshell, 1867, the land is actually released for the Jewish people to redeem it back, and much more. First Jubilee. Go count 50 years, it takes you to 1917. Anything happen? Well, yeah, the Balfour Declaration gives the land to the Jewish people. The Turks leave, the British come in, promise the land, but they never got Jerusalem. Count 50 years, it takes you to 1967. Mm-hmm. Six-day war, they enter the gates of Jerusalem, Jubilee. It got to happen, and we should all rejoice, because only by that happening can Messiah going to come. He's coming back to Jerusalem with the Jewish people. But then they never got a Jubilee. You always get, you get the legal rights. You get the recognition. The world refused to recognize Jerusalem to that time. But count 50 years, where does it take you? Takes you to 2017. Anything happen? Trump, President Trump, America, mm-hmm. issues the Jerusalem Declaration, yes. mm-hmm. to give the legal recognition. First time since ancient times. So everything's according to that. But the enemy is a imitator. So he takes the things of God, the Jubilee, and he turns it upside down. So mm-hmm. instead of taking a victory, he takes a calamity. And the yes. calamity, as we said, 1973, Yom Kippur War, they're invaded. Israel's invaded, land invasion. It takes them by, almost destroys Israel in the natural. They actually thought it was going to end Israel. That was it. But they miraculously turned it around by God. But it shook Israel to this day. It was the greatest calamity for Israel up until October 7th. Well, so what does it ordain? The enemy's going to take it, and he's going to have a devil's jubilee. And so 50 years later, it's going to ordain there's going to be an invasion. It's going to happen in the year 2023. The Yom Kippur War took place in October. It's going to happen in October. Okay. Yom Kippur War happened on a Saturday. It's going to happen on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yom Kippur War happened on a holy day from Leviticus 23. This is going to happen on a holy day from Leviticus 23, which is called Shemini Atzeret, which is the other holy day. And the Yom Kippur War not only took Israel by surprise and led to war, happened on the first Saturday of October of 73. So this is going to happen on the first Saturday of October, 2023. And there's only one day that is. That's October 7th. Yes. It was the devil's jubilee. And there's a mystery. There's so much to this, but we won't go into it. But there's a mystery in the book where actually there's prophetic countdowns which start at the beginning of the Six-Day War. And when you count these things down, I mean, thousands of days, they come to the exact morning of Saturday, October 7th.
Wow. You see, that's, and you know, 2028, if I'm correct, is the next Shemitah year coming up, which is also happens to be the next election year for the United States of America. So I think 2028 is the next Shemitah year. I was double checking on that like a week ago or so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 2022. Yeah. I think it would be 28 and 29. Yeah, it would start from one and goes there. Yeah, and it's interesting. There is a mystery to the year 28 that's actually linked, that could be linked to Trump. We can talk another time. But
okay,
yeah,
well,
interesting. Yes. Interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So what exactly did the mystery foretell of the invasion of Israel?
Well, that, yeah, I actually kind of jumped ahead. But okay. Yeah, it actually did. And that's why, Amanda, when the night before this happened, I was led, you know, on that day to speak of the mystery of the Jubilee, and which all ordained the next day it happened. So it was that night, actually began that night. The Sabbath began that night, but yeah.
And so the book opens up the signs of the end of days. What are they? So this
book, well, the Bible says, how do you know you're going to be in the end of days? This goes back to Moses. He actually talks about the end of days. It's the Aharit HaYamim, the last of days or the end of time. And that is, it says, how are you going to know? You're going to know when you're living in a world that Israel has come back into it, number one. Number two, that world is going to be focused on that little tiny New Jersey-sized land. It's here. The world is going to be obsessed with it. The world is going to rage against it. We're here. It's also going to be a world that turns away from God, apostasy. We're here. We're watching all that. But so the thing what I noticed, I'm sure you did too, Amanda, Gary, that is that as all these things were happening this last year, it was like end time prophecy was accelerating.
Yes.
There's so much here. And so what I started seeing is like literal, absolute end time prophecies were touched by this, where lines were crossed. And so we're in that.
You know what I find interesting? Israel is the size of the land of New Jersey. And there the Lord has you positioned in New Jersey. So I just find that, I find that just fascinating, and just the Lord at work there.
And our ministry, the building of our ministry, it's Beth Israel. It's called House of Israel. And the building is called the Jerusalem Center. So it actually looks like Jerusalem. And yeah, and the flood, I told you three floods, the enemy, he sent it against the Jerusalem Center, Beth Israel. So.
That's amazing. That, but that's what happens when you begin to shine the spotlight and expose what the Lord uses you to do with the plans of the enemy and what he's doing. You know, there it is met with resistance. The enemy does try to stop it, but praise God, the people of God prevail when we persevere in the Lord. So praise the Lord for that. One of the chapters in the Dragon's Prophecy is called The Colors of the Apocalypse. So what is this?
Yeah,
well, let's get into this.
Yeah, Revelation gives colors for the apocalypse, and it's in the four horsemen. You have the white horse for conquest. You have the red horse of war. You have the black horse of famine or want. And then you have the green or pale green horse of death. Well, the amazing thing is that in all these gatherings, when this hatred of Israel, this war on Israel erupted all over the world, the colors of the apocalypse start manifesting. That is because they're all reuniting under a banner. The banner that they're waving is the Palestine flag. The Palestine flag is white for the white horse, red for the red horse, black for the black horse, and green for the green horse. In fact, every nation that has that configuration of colors as their main colors on their flag, it marks them as an enemy of the nation of Israel.
That's amazing. That is. And I don't know if you heard, but it was Passover in England. Big Ben froze at the 9 o'clock position, and horses that were doing military exercises broke loose in the streets. And one of them was a white horse. One was a black horse. I believe one of them was a more reddish brown horse, broke loose in the streets on Passover. Some of them covered in blood. Nothing like that had ever happened before.
I heard, Amanda, I heard something, but I did not hear that, you know, to go into the details. Just a question. Was that this Passover or the Passover before?
It was this past Passover.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's when it happened.
Well, Passover even has a place in this mystery with the dragon's prophecy. So,
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does, given all this. So the prophet Ezekiel foretells a forthcoming invasion of Israel. That may be the next big prophetic event. I'm thinking this is the War of Ezekiel, perhaps.
Yeah.
In the book, you reveal a surprise connection to the prophecy. What is it?
Yeah, well, Ezekiel gives that major prophecy of a massive invasion of Israel by nations coming against Israel, an alliance. And he does name them by their ancient names. And we can identify a whole bunch of that. The amazing thing is what I found out as I looked is each one of them that we can identify for sure. Cush, for instance.
Okay.
That Cush was actually had a part. It says they're going to invade Israel. Well, that's to come. They're going to come. But this is the first time ever that one of them, Cush, had a part in the invasion of Israel October 7th. First invasion in 50 years actually was behind Hamas and all these things. Put the other nation, I'm not going into their modern names, also was part of it. Togarma was also part of it. And Persia, Iran, was part of it. Everything that he says, they actually had a part in the invasion. The first time ever that these nations that are going to invade Israel had a part in the, we crossed the prophetic line.
Wow. So basically that's laying the pathway for this. That's opening up a gate in a way for this coming event.
Exactly.
Okay. So the Dragon's Prophecy speaks of an ancient entity called the Sar Paras, which actually lies behind the current and dangerous world events we see happening. What is the Sar Paras?
Sar Paras is mentioned in the Bible. It's an entity. It's a demonic entity that wars against Israel, particularly against the end time purposes of the nation of Israel. So when Israel comes back in the world, this entity is going to get it aroused, it's going to activate it, aroused. Well, what does it mean? Sar means ruler, master, or general, and Paras means Iran. So it literally is linked to Iran. So you've got this entity. The Bible says, when you see the Bible, when you take away the veil, then everything makes sense. What's happening in the spiritual realm? What's behind Iran is an entity. It's the Sar Paras. That entity exists to destroy Israel. So why is Iran obsessed with destroying Israel? Why is Iran? because of this. And the thing is, that is why, I mean, there's no nation on earth that is so obsessed with destroying Israel as Iran. That's why they want nuclear weapon. They want to wipe out Israel. Yes. It's not them. There's an entity leading them. And the thing is, that's why they're behind Hezbollah. They're behind the Houthis. They're behind Hamas. When you look at October 7th, you know, Gaza was behind it. Behind Gaza was Hamas. Behind Hamas was Iran. Behind Iran was the Tsar Paras. Behind the Tsar Paras is the dragon. And so they were behind it. And the thing is, that's why that Israel, you say Israel, and by the way, Israel speaks about another, I mean, the Bible speaks about another entity called the Tsar Yisrael, which is an entity that means literally, his name means, who is like God? Michael or Michael. And so Michael literally is defending Israel while Iran's attacking. So you have this attack. By the way, Ezekiel says that Iran's going to attack Israel. Yes. Now, it's still to come, but it never happened. We've never had a direct attack ever until now. Another line we cross, it sent all those missiles into Israel.
Yeah. But you know what?
They were struck down. I believe more than technology, you have a Tsar Yisrael, you've got Michael there. Literally, the Bible says you have this entity warring against that entity. And on earth, you got the two nations warring. Well, it's because it's all what's happening in the heavenly is explaining what's happening on earth in our day.
So let me ask you, in the book of Daniel, when the Prince of Persia meets Gabriel, is this connected to the Tsar Paras? Is this account? Because Michael is called in to defend.
Michael, they need the big forces, the heavy hitters here. Uh-huh. No, not only that, yes. In the prince, what we call the Prince of Persia, is the Tsar Paras.
Okay.
Yes. And you have an angel fighting, and then Michael's called in. And when you look at the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, the dragon's prophecy, look at there. It says Michael battled with his angels against the devil, the dragon, and his angels. One of those angels is the Tsar Paras. And so that's there. And we literally on earth have already seen a shadow of it again.
Yes, we have. Absolutely. So this is interesting, this next question, because of what the Lord had shown me leading up to this event happening. But was there an ancient mystery behind the sudden death of the Iranian president?
Yes, there was. Mm-hmm. The president of Iran, his name was Ebrahim Raisi. Ebrahim, he's named after Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, trying to destroy them. He has their name. Also, his name bore witness of the Abrahamic covenant. That if you bless Israel, you're blessed. Curse Israel, you're cursed. Whatever you do. And so God says that Israel is the apple of God's eye. You touch it, you're touching his eye. Abraham Raisi, president of Iran, is the first president of Iran who actually touched the apple of God's eye, actually directly struck Israel. About 30 days later, he was struck down dead as his helicopter mysteriously came down. And the thing is, he also issued a threat during that time. He said he threatened the annihilation of the nation of Israel. There'll be nothing left. Well, that's blasphemy because this is God's nation. And there actually the day before he was struck down, it was the Sabbath, and there was an appointed word read all over Israel, all over the world, chanted from the scroll. You know how the last words of that appointed word said, "The one who blasphemies shall be struck down." And then he was the next day. And in the book of Ezekiel, when God says, "I will call all you enemies down to Israel," it says, "I will call you against the mountain, I will bring you against the mountains, and you will fall on the mountains." On that day, Ebrahim Raisi is the first one of those nations who actually struck Israel. On that day, he was brought down against the mountains. He died on the mountains.
Yeah, that is, yep. And they called it a hard landing. That's exactly, right. Yes. That's what it was reported as, a hard landing. So the book reveals a connection between the Temple Mount, October 7th, the Antichrist, and five red cows, the red heifers. The red heifers, I believe. Tell us the secret of the mount.
Yeah, listen, the Temple Mount is the ground zero of prophecy. That's where it's all coming to a head. That's where the temple's going to be. That's where the Antichrist is going to go to declare himself God. That's where Messiah is going to reign. So think about that. So the enemy, the dragon, is going to do everything to control that mountain and keep God's will from happening. Literally, he does in one sense. Because Jewish people are not allowed to go up there and pray because of the dragon. He's kept the temple from being rebuilt so far. He has the mosque up there. So what would happen if there was ever a threat to his dominion on that mountain, well, all hell would break loose. Well, something happened. CNN will never tell you this. You'll never see it. Something happened. It was on Passover. Something happened. There was a rumor that Jewish people were going to actually celebrate the Passover on the Temple Mount. That would send the dragon crazy. That would be a threat to the dragon. All hell broke loose on the Temple Mount. Riots, all was. Hamas issues a threat to Israel because of that. It says, because of that, basically fire, you're going to have a fire come on you. The result, the payback of the dragon was October 7th. Yeah. It was all linked to the Temple Mount of prophecy. In fact, I told you that Hamas named it Operation Tufan, Operation Flood. But the full name was Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, or basically Operation Temple Mount Flood. They named it after the Temple Mount. And when they issued their reason for it, they literally mentioned, they said it was because of the Temple Mount. It's like the dragon speaking, because you tried to take the Temple Mount. Mm-hmm. And they also even mentioned the red heifers.
They did.
Five red cows.
Yes.
It's all prophecy behind the whole thing. It was the dragon's counterattack over that mountain of the Lord and over prophecy.
You right behind 9/11 was the Temple Mount, right? Yeah. How and what is the King Solomon's secret?
Yeah, well, it wasn't just October 7th. You know what? After 9/11, Osama bin Laden issued his statement, and what he said was the reason is what you're trying to do to the Temple Mount. He said his words were almost word for word that the Hamas did. And yet it makes no sense. It's the devil speaking. He's saying, you tried to take my mount. And so the result was 9/11 for 11. And the result for Israel was Israel's 9/11, October 7th. This is the enemy. He's real. But the other thing is this. There's one day of the Hebrew year where they read the account of Solomon building the temple on the mount and dedicating the temple on the Temple mm-hmm. Mount. Now that would be a threat to the dragon, the enemy, But they declare, and Solomon dedicated the temple on the Temple Mount. What day is it? It was October 7th. It was a holy day, fell on October 7th. So as the Jewish people are reading the account of the Temple Mount having the temple built, the dragon goes crazy, and Hamas, he issues the flood called the flood of the Temple Mount at the same time. And you know something else I'll throw, because you mentioned Passover? Mm-hmm. That first event happened on Passover when they believed that Jewish people were going to go up and celebrate the Passover. That's the first day of God's holy year.
Yes.
The last day of God's holy year fell on October 7th. It was the last holy day. So the enemy struck back on the last one.
Mm-hmm. And when the enemy strikes back, he's very strategic about it. He does. He's very strategic about the days he picks, the areas he picks, why he picks them.
Yeah.
And so watching his patterns and how he operates then begins to reveal how he would attack, exactly, basically in the future. Okay. So was the wave of anti-Israel and anti-Jewish rage that swept across the world and America, including across college campuses, part of this mystery?
Yeah, totally. The Bible says in the last days, all nations are going to rage against Israel, and it's going to be the dragon. It says that from the mouth of the dragon, same prophecy, Revelation 1, came spirits, and they went forth all over the world.
They look like frogs.
Yeah.
Right?
Linked to frogs. They come for unclean, and they come forth, and they gather the nations to Armageddon against Israel. Mm-hmm. And so, how can the whole world come against this New Jersey-sized land? That's kind of crazy. Well, you already saw a shadow of it now. All over the world, it's the largest outbreak of anti-Semitism all over. The young, the next generation, Harvard, the next leaders, we're all raging for the death of Israel.
Yes.
And the thing is that, so don't say, you weren't warned. You saw the first fruit of it. This was the first fruit. Well, what's going to happen as things go? Well, the Bible says it. And you talk about the fingerprints of the dragon. They were chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. Well, they're chanting for the destruction of Israel. But just like the enemy, that the enemy takes the things of God and he perverts it. What were they chanting? They were chanting what the Bible says. The Bible gives a promise of the land to Israel. And the Bible said over and over again, God says when he makes the promise, you know what he says? From the river to the sea, from the river to the sea. So the enemy took it, twisted it to destroy it. From the river to the sea, Israel will be destroyed. But it was all from the Bible.
And let me ask, that mantra that the enemy took and perverted, would you say that traces back to what happened at the Red Sea? Would you say from the river to the sea traces back potentially?
Well, interesting, because I mean, if it's the Red, the Red Sea.
I'm just asking. It just came to me.
God always links it up. I mean, he has dividers, you know, and you have the Red Sea, and when they cross over the Jordan. You have the other miracle, so God always uses this river to the sea, river to the sea. But it's classic enemy, dragon's fingerprints.
Now, is this the dragon's other war you were speaking about with Armageddon, or is this, there's another one?
Well, this is in Revelation 12, it says he also made war against the rest of her children. Now, who's the rest of her children? It's not Israel. It's the children of Israel. Well, who? If you're born again, you're a child of Israel. Mm-hmm. It says those who follow Messiah. So the dragon has another war. So he's war. So one side is Israel is physical. So he wars against them to physically destroy them. The other Israel is spiritual. That's us. That's everybody who believes in God. So the dragon wars against spiritually. He's going to war in the end times. So when Israel gets attacked, the body's going to get attacked because he's going to persecute. The persecution, he warred against them. So both things are going to be happening in the end times. So Israel and the church are going to be together, more and more together. It's already happening.
It is.
More and more together because we're both on that side of the dragon's war. So this is where it's going. And that's why the last part of the dragon's prophecy is about how to be prepared, how to fight this war, how to be prepared. What's the enemy? Well, he has a war against you. What is his strategy for this? What is that? So it's all prophetic. We're all in it. It's not just Israel. We're all in it.
We are in it. And I tell, our viewers that when you become a child of God, you are automatically at war with the kingdom of darkness. There's no gray area here. You are automatically at war with them when you become a child of God. They want to war against you. And so this is a continuing war until Messiah returns. Yeah. And so you have to understand that if we're soldiers in the armies of the living God, we are warring, right? Against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. And this is why we have to put on the whole armor of God.
Yes, absolutely.
This is why. Absolutely. So in the book of Revelation, you have the dragon and the lamb. So how does this reveal the answer? Because both that imagery is very strong in the book of Revelation.
Powerful and for a reason. Yeah. And and to say also, listen, if you're watching this podcast right now, you're watching it and maybe say, well, I'm not Jewish and I'm not really a Christian. It doesn't matter. If you're in the image of God, the dragon is warring against you. Mm-hmm. And by the way, he's been warring against you, everybody watching, since the moment you were conceived. Some of you he tried to abuse, some he tried to addict, enslave, he tried to oppress, he tried to keep you from God, he tried to defile you, tried to depress you, still tries to take you away. That's why we have to fight. Okay, so in the book of Revelation, it's not just a dragon, it's a lamb. And the thing is that the lamb and the dragon are at war. And now most people, if they heard about a war between a dragon and a lamb, they'd put their bets on the dragon because the lamb is like, but the lamb wins against the dragon.
Amen.
And the thing is, what it tells us, a few things, evil always comes like a dragon, comes like a flood, comes fierce, overwhelming. The odds look overwhelming. Look at our culture, overwhelming. Look at Hitler, look at the Roman Empire against the Christians, and good comes like a lamb. It's the underdog. It looks like it's not going to make it. It looks like it's the fan. Look at the Christians. Look at that. Look at Israel. Well, the thing is that the lamb wins. And evil, a dragon is reptilian. And reptilian is cold-blooded. And cold-blooded reptiles can go crazy, but they can't last. They don't have endurance. Evil has its day, but it can't last. It can't prevail.
Amen.
Evil will not win because it can't win. It's going to destroy itself. But good, the lamb, is not cold-blooded. It's warm-blooded. So it lasts. And so it says his mercy endures forever, God forever. So the thing is, listen, if you look at the moment, it may look overwhelming. Look at the moment, it may look like you're on the losing side. But don't look at the moment. You are on the winning side. If you're with the Lamb, you are going to win. And so the thing is that the Lamb wins. The Lamb wins. And we are the Lamb is Jesus. The Lamb is Messiah. Yes. The Lamb is stronger than the dragon and any dragon in your life and any evil in your life. The Lamb is stronger and we're with him.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. Amen. Amen. You know what's interesting too, and I just want to point this out. But now, so we talked about earlier in China, it's the year of the dragon, right? Next year they have it as the year of the snake.
Yes.
So
we got a doubleheader here.
We do have a doubleheader. I looked at that and went, oh boy, there's a doubleheader right there. Yep, that was my thoughts when I took a look at it. Okay. Yeah. So what phenomenon of history reveals the power of God over the dragon and good over evil?
Well, you know, it's not good, just feel good and all that. It's reality. And that is this. When we talk about the Jewish people, they are a witness at the beginning. We talk about a witness for God, their history witnesses to the enemy. But think about this. They're the most warred against people on earth.
Yes.
They're ancient people. Most of the time, they had no defense. They were scattered in the nations. The pharaohs of Egypt tried to destroy them. Yes. Assyria tried to destroy them. Babylon tried. Rome tried. Hitler tried. The Soviet Union tried. The terrorists are trying, you know, but the pharaohs are gone. Assyria has fallen. Babylon has crumbled. Rome is no more. Hitler has perished. Soviet Union has collapsed. The terrorists will collapse. But the nation of Israel lives. Am Yisrael Chai. The nation of Israel lives because the God of Israel lives. The Messiah of Israel lives. And if you follow him, you're going to live. The good does win in the end. And if you don't believe, just look at Israel. Should not exist. It should be in the museums with the Hittites and the Amorites. But it's alive and well and still there. And it's still going to be there. And you are the spiritual Israelite. You are still going to be there as you stand with God. So it's not a matter of, hey, I feel it. It's there. It's real. Take heart and overcome.
Amen. Done. That's right. We have to be overcomers. We have to persevere in the Lord, because when you're moving forward, the enemy's attacks aren't working.
Yeah.
And when is it? That's why, submit to God, resist the enemy and he shall flee from you. That resisting, it's not a nicey nice word, resisting. Right. It really means like locking up arms and shoving back and making him move. And the way you make him move too is you move forward and you show him those attacks are not prospering.
That's right. Move ahead. You're not supposed to be fighting by standing to hold your ground and not go backwards. You're supposed to be moving forward. You're not supposed to let the enemy choose the ground of battle. You're to choose it. He's trying to take over you're to take his ground. You're to move forward, and then it's changed the whole war.
Praise God. Yes, it has. What is the mystery of the secret Israelis? I don't think we're talking about the Mossad here. We're talking about secret Israelis. There's a mystery behind this. How does it reveal the key to overcoming?
Yeah. No, the Mossad isn't secret Israelis. They're Israelis. They're secret in other things, but
they're secret in other ways. Exactly.
Yeah, but we know they're Israelis. But the secret Israelis, that's you. That's all of us in Messiah. And the reason being this, there are believers who could say, well, and by the way, as I said, the last part of the book is how to overcome and recognize you're in the war. How do you actually have success and prevail? So this is part of it. Believers can say, well, okay, I know I'm spiritually Jewish I'm a spiritual Israelite. You're not just a spiritual Israelite. You're in a spiritual Israeli. And the reason is the word for Israelite in the Bible is Israeli, And so the fact that Israel is back, that's a sign for you. And so what they've done in the physical, we have to do in the spiritual. And I'll tell you what that means.
Yes.
Jewish people weren't known for being fighters for a long time because they weren't allowed to be in armies. They didn't have a land. They didn't. In ancient times, they were great warriors, but they haven't been fighters. And so when they came back to the land of Israel, they realized something. If we don't learn how to fight, we're going to be wiped out.
Yes.
And you know why? That's because of the dragon. Because he wants to wipe them out. So they became fighter. They put on fatigues, and God anointed it. They became among the greatest fighters in the world, the people who didn't fight. So that's the physical. That corresponds to us in the spiritual. You are an Israeli in the spirit. So what are you? It means in the last days, just as the physical Israelis had to become fighters in the physical, we have to become warriors in the spiritual. In other words, this is the day you cannot sit back. You cannot sit on the sidelines. You cannot let the enemy do what he wants. You fighting means you're saying no. No to what the enemy wants to do. No to what you shall not have that. No in my culture. No in my life. No in my family. No in my walk. I am fighting back. You have to fight. There is victory that is guaranteed in God, but you must fight to have that victory. If you fight, it doesn't matter who you are. You fight, you're going to win because God has called you to victory. But you have to fight to have victory. You are a spiritual Israel. You are a secret and spiritual Israeli.
Amen. Yes, we are. And you know, you have to fight. This is what God has equipped us to do. Is to intercede in spiritual warfare, right? Dealing with national matters and interceding for the nations and what's happening. We're equipped to do this, and God equips us. He doesn't ill-equip us for the task that he has for us. And so we have to understand that God equips us and he puts us through things, and we go through trial and testing, and we go through this because it sharpens up and it equips us and it fashions us as a weapon in his hands to be used for his glory.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen to that. So I'm going to ask you to give a word of encouragement.
Yeah.
And a charge to those watching right now with all of what's happening.
Yeah. Amanda, Gary, you know that, you know, with the books, you know, I bring out things and I give warning. I bring out things to reveal, but there's always hope. It always ends with hope and the charge, because we're called for victory. Mm-hmm. In the book of Revelation is that very same chapter that speaks about the dragon in Revelation 12 is the same chapter that has the words, but they overcame him.
Yes.
Who? The dragon. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and loving not their lives to death. Well, they overcame. And the word in Greek there is the word nakao. And the cool thing about it is it says that it's written about the future, but it's written in the past tense. In other words, it's done. It's good. You have a lot of battles that are in the future. Your battles that you have to win, and you didn't win yet, but the victory is already done. In the verb, the word, your victory against the devil is already nakao, won, because the Lamb has won. And so you are to live your life in victory. You got to first believe victory. If you don't believe you're victorious, you're not going to do it. Believe you have victory over whatever that is. Everything, that sin, that bondage, that situation, you have victory if you stand, as he said, go with the Lamb. And fight your fight as a fight that has already been fought. It's done. I've got the victory. I am just going to enter into it. I fight in confidence and joy and courage because of the Lamb. So those who war in the Lamb, those who follow the Lamb, those who will overcome and will have the victory.
Praise God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. And the Lord gave me something with that joy. And he said, and he has said this to me at certain points. He said it December 2023. He said it before what happened with COVID in the earth. And he said, the joy of the Lord, the justice of Yahweh has entered the earth. And so this is the time we're in right now, seeing this happen.
Yeah, listen, it's a time of war. And I got, you know, it's a time the dragon is going crazy, not only in Israel, but also in America and in all different ways.
Yes.
And seeking in your life. But we are warriors and we are to conquer and we are to overcome. And that's the way you have to live your life. And that'll change just by taking that'll change the way you do everything. You do have victory. It's real. It's not hype. It's real. But go with it. And that's why I believe the Lord interrupted me and said, you got to write this. You got to write this now. This is for now, for his people now, because this is where we are. That's why he said, write the dragon's prophecy.
Well, praise God, you were interrupted. Praise God, you were interrupted and you heeded.
I was interrupted. If I wasn't interrupted, I wouldn't be saved. And so thank God that he interrupts us. That I'm only because of that interruption. This is the result of the interruption of God. So
amen. Yeah. Hey, praise God for that. Amazing, amazing result. So where can people find this book? They want to buy it, Rabbi Jonathan, because I'm sure people want to get into this.
Yeah, The Dragon's Prophecy is literally all over. Everywhere there are books. So you go online right now, you can get it. Amazon has it. Every place online has it. Even Walmart has it now, and Barnes & Noble, I think Target has
it. All right.
That's a new thing. But so it's all over. I just pray people get it, not just for yourself, but get it for people in your life who need to know and need to be interrupted and need to be awake and be ready, prepared for what's coming.
Praise God. Chris, you have anything to say to Rabbi Jonathan?
I think so powerful already. So
thank you.
I'm blessed to this.
Oh,
he's blessed by it.
Thank you. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm honored that you come to stay, because I know you're not always there, but that you're there for. I'm honored by that, and I'm blessed to do this, guys.
He loves joy.
There's nothing quite like doing Ark of Grace.
Really? Really? I'm very touched by that. I really am.
You know? Yeah.
That's one. We're so glad you love coming on. We love having you on. It's been a wonderful time here with you. Maybe we'll get a part two. We'll see if we can orchestrate that, but that would be wonderful. But yes, you can go to booksbyjonathankahn.com. It is also, like he said, in Walmart, Barnes & Noble. It's in all places books are sold, basically. Mm-hmm. So please get The Dragon Prophecy today. It's going to enlighten you. It's going to take you deeper with the Lord. And this is a time where God is calling his people deeper. We are being called into deeper revelation. People in the prophetic are being called into deeper revelation, you know, into deeper waters. We're being called in by the Lord. And so please answer that call.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
Praise Rabbi Jonathan. Thank you so much for coming on.
Always an honor. Always a joy. And God bless you guys.
God bless you, Rabbi. Thank you. Oh, and that concludes our time with Rabbi Jonathan. That was wonderful and amazing. And we always love having him on. And we always love learning. You know, life is a learning process. We should never stop learning when we are walking with the Lord. So I just want to remind everybody of that. We're going to put up our social media handles very fast here. And then we'll end. So on Rumble, we're at Ark of Grace Ministries. YouTube is the same, Ark of Grace Ministries. Facebook is Ark of Grace Ministry with a Y. Instagram is Ark of Grace 88. X is at Amanda Grace underscore AOG. TikTok is at Ark of Grace Ministries. And so is Telegram. Please like and subscribe and share this broadcast. We're just asking for your help with that. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So God bless everyone. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it because the word of God is living and active. It is living, active, and current for every generation, and we have to activate it. We have to speak it. This is a living, breathing book, and we have to understand that. Right. Also, Ephesians 1 and 3 from the Believer's Authority. I quote scripture every day from the Believer's Authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin, as well as the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, because Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. That prayer starts with praise and thanksgiving, and it starts with just coming in to God humbly and just praising him. And there is an order to that prayer that we all should learn for our prayer life. So I encourage you all in that as well. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We thank Rabbi Jonathan for taking the time to come on. We know he's very busy. And so we hope you enjoyed this, you learn something, and that you get the Dragon's Prophecy today. Have a wonderful rest of your evening, everyone. God bless. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rafa today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our body. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.